Morning. Morning, everyone. Good morning.
Make sure that you
Ben, you're muted.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, I'm here.
Looks like we have a quorum, yes?
Indeed.
Indeed. Shall we begin?
Sure.
Okay. Good morning. The Design Review Committee meeting of March 21st, 2023 is now open. My name is Rita Baker, and I am the chair of the Design Review Committee. Before we proceed with the meeting, I would like to let the audience know who we are and explain the process for the meeting. The Design Review Committee is a volunteer committee appointed by the Board of County Commissioners to review and make recommendations on design review applications referred to it by the Planning Department as director. The committee consists of a variety of professionals and community members with expertise in site and building design, including such elements as architecture, landscape architecture, engineering, and graphic design. The process for the meeting today will be as follows. Planning and Zoning Division staff will present a staff report. Then we will have the applicant go over their proposed plans and address any issues raised in the staff report. Next, although this is not a land use hearing, we will provide an opportunity for public comment. The applicant will then have an opportunity to respond. Finally, the committee will discuss whether the application complies with the approval criteria in the zoning and development ordinance or can comply with appropriate conditions of approval, and the committee will vote on a recommendation. Although the committee is charged with making a recommendation on the application, the decision will be made by the planning director or designee. The planning director's decision may be appealed to the land use hearings officer by any party within 12 days of the date of the decision. Let's see. Well, if you'd like to provide comment, please clearly state your name for the record when you come forward to speak. If you would like a copy of the planning director's decision, give staff your address. He also asks that you verify, you testify one at a time, speaking clearly into the microphone as this meeting is being recorded. Let's see, is there any questions? Do we have any? Ben, do we have any audience members?
There's four guests. I don't know if the applicant is here. One of those guests, but the three names on there I don't recognize, so they might just be. I don't know if the applicant's even here.
Well, that's special.
They were certainly notified. I guess what we could do is if you're the applicant, one of the four attendees, can you please put a note in the chat and let us know, and we'll. I think that might work. But I don't recognize any of the names on there. So we'll see if. Let's see here. Panelists. We got everyone from panelists. I'll send the applicant an email real quick.
Well, this is rare, but when it happens, we've gone ahead and just had a discussion internally. So let me know your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I didn't mean to speak out of turn, but we've done that in other hearings too. I just sent them an email, so.
Any way to send a text?
I can call them. I can't text. Yes. Here, let me see. What's that? Okay, I can see if I can give them a call here. Just give me a second.
Of papers.
All right, let me just mute myself while I'm making this call here.
Does anyone know if we're ever going to go back to in-person meetings at any time?
I don't know.
I haven't heard anything.
Let's see where they're at on that. Okay. That
I'm
sounds good.
I'm tired of these old Zoom meetings.
I apologize.
No, no worries.
Okay.
Okay, bye. The owner is trying to call their consultant to get them looped in. So I don't know. I mean, if we just hang out here for a little bit, but theoretically, if they can get a hold of the consultant, it should be, hopefully they can get on within a couple minutes.
Let's give them, what does the committee think? 5-10 minutes?
Well, do we want to go ahead and start with the staff report?
Well, if we do that, then, and the consultant isn't part of it, hopefully they've read the staff report.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, it's almost a formality.
Okay, so here... Okay, so she's confused on the date. Okay, I got her contact with her. Let me just send her.
We have Jesus Solis on.
Yeah, hey guys, just logging on now. I just called Brittany and Brian as well. So I may lose you guys if they call me back.
Mr. Solis, are you the owner applicant? Are you the consultant?
Yeah, I am the owner's rep. I represent the Yoshidas.
Okay. Okay. Oops.
Let's see.
I did just get in touch with Brittany via email, and I'm just waiting for her response, but I think she could probably log in here. So I know she's there. So I'll just see if we get a response here, but she's got the link now. I sent that to her.
And what role does Brittany have? Ben?
She is our planning manager.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. She's a third party planning manager for our group.
Okay.
But we should have our architect Studio 3 jumping on, and Brian Lesler with PDG, our developer. So I'm trying to get a hold of them. I was not supposed to be on. I won't have any answers.
But be careful. Be careful while you're driving.
Thank you.
I just sent another follow-up email. Just to see if there's going to be any attendance. Well, I'm not getting anything from the consultant here, so that I don't have anything from her.
I mean, does it make just rescheduling this?
Ben?
I'm sorry. I thought, I don't know. I suppose we can reschedule. The problem is we have the 120-day clock going. So we really need to have the applicant. It's up to the applicant if they want to reschedule. We may want to look at the time and see if we have enough time to do that. I can do that, obviously, now. I just need to look at the how much time we have left before the deadline is. So I can certainly look into that. I don't know let me call Darcy and see if we can just reschedule it for like a week from today. So just give me a second. Okay, I think I see Brittany now. Okay, thanks, Darcy. I think we're good. They showed up. Okay, thanks. Okay, so let's see here. I need to move Brittany over to a panelist. Promote to panelist. Let's see here. There we go.
Well, I think we're good with the introduction for the record. Can I just go ahead and say I will open the meeting for file number Z0032-23-D and Z0033-23. Okay. Please proceed with the staff report.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let me just share my screen. Okay, my name is Ben Blessing. I'm a senior planner with Clackamas County Planning and Zoning. This application is for what's being called the Government Camp Hotel. It's a 47-unit hotel up in the actual unincorporated community of Government Camp. Okay, let's get here so I can do this. I don't have access to my actual PowerPoint, so it'll just have to be in PDF format. Okay, so the subject property is 1.38 acres. It's near the northernmost point of East Government Camp Loop. Hotels in the MRR zone, that's Mountain Recreational Residential, are permitted use, subject to some footnotes, which are noted in the staff report. A big component of this development is Camp Creek, which runs along the southern property line, and its 50-foot buffer will be impacted slightly, but the applicant is trying to push the building as far north as possible to avoid impacts to the creek. And again, stream conservation area is being reviewed with Z0033-23. Again, that's a staff decision, type 2 decision, that's going to be issued in conjunction with Z0032-23. But they are separate applications. Okay, so there's just a quick location map for you. You have the obviously Government Camp vicinity, and then Collins Lake Resort to the south, and the Highway 26 obviously runs through there. So the proposal, again, 47-unit room hotel. There's just the one entrance to the hotel. Again, there's frontage along East Government Camp Loop Road, but it's small. It's about 100 feet or so. And it's, a large part of that is going to be taken up by the entrance, pedestrian area, and kind of the main access to the front of the hotel there. So that whole frontage on the on East Government Camp Loop is actually a little thin strip of federally owned land You may have seen that in the application materials, but there's actually no frontage on the subject property for most of it. That's owned just a sliver of land that's federal government, basically. So the hotel, just a couple of brief notes on the amenities in the hotel. It's going to be, you know, obviously geared towards, you know, the mountain recreation thing. So there's going to be a bike and ski storage area, fairly large in the basement, and a few bike storage areas on top. Large lobby, and then restaurant for hotel guests. It's not going to be a restaurant for the general public. It can't, because that would require a separate parking analysis, and there's not enough room for that, most likely. There's some large kitchenettes in each room, so the rooms are, some of them are going to be you know, kind of more, you know, resort accommodations with larger kitchenettes, and some of them without, I believe. There's the, which you've probably seen, the understructure necessary, is necessary. They're going to put basically a, you know, below grade basement, and that's going to be, you know, for parking, and it's just there because, you know, it's getting size constrained. They're trying to utilize the ground floor as much as possible. Then lastly, just the areas not being developed are going to be preserved or enhanced. And again, that landscape plan you should have access to, but it's also going to be part of the mitigation with Z0033-23. And I also, it looks like we also have Steve Hanschke on the call as well. So if you have questions about that, he'll be able to help since he's working that staff decision. Sorry, I keep going backwards because I'm used to having it in PowerPoint format, so just bear with me. Okay, so there's just a quick look at the site plan. There's your entrance. The hotel has, you know, is essentially this structure, and then they have parking off to the west. You have the trees being removed where development is, but the rest of the site is being preserved. And then you have frontage improvements, which we'll go over just at the end of this presentation. You know, basically, ODOT is the jurisdiction that has jurisdiction, is the agency that has jurisdiction over Government Camp Loop there. So their standards will need to be met. So the landscape plan there, again, just to kind of show you briefly that there's going to be enhancements to the southern sector of the lot. Elevations show the structure there. I mean, I think we've probably looked at the plan set, but you're going to have your basement and then the ground level floor for the lobby. And then there's the renderings. Again, this, if you can follow my cursor, I believe you're going to have the, you know, the main ground level, and then the lower parking, and then the understructure parking as well. So these are some of the highlight section of this presentation. So I made some highlights on the dimensional standards. So there was concerns that this facility will be mixed use, but you know, after talking with the director, it's just a hotel, and the, you know, things like, you know, gyms, spas, restaurants are incidental to hotels. So staff did recommend a condition that it can't really be used as a separate, like, restaurant, a standalone restaurant or anything open to the public. So, but it is, you know, it's customary to have that with a hotel. There's also some notes that the hotels are, they could, you know, possibly be used for dwellings, the hotel rooms with kitchens. So basically the definition of the ZDO just says that hotels require short stays. I also noted that, you know, that hotels generally have to register with the county's, you know, transient room tax, which doesn't allow more than 30 rooms. I can't say anything of, you know, that's only an advisory note. I don't know the ins and outs of that. That's not my department, but there, it's basically, this hotel can't be used for long-term dwelling use. It's meant for a hotel. That's the definition we have in ZDO section 202, and it'll have to adhere to that. There was just some, I noted the height of the building. And I also talked to the building codes this morning about where to measure height. And, it looks like, you know, the height itself is, they're saying it's 70, the applicant's showing 73 feet roughly to the top of the peak, but that peak is of a lower, like a lower, offset roof. So actually just for measurement purposes, it needs to be measured to the midpoint between the peak and the eaves. So that would be about right there. I also looked at our allowances for height, and it does appear that we would measure at the ground floor, not from the basement. So they're showing 73 feet here. We would actually measure, it's less 15 feet. So that would be more like 58 feet from the ground level. If you look at the drawings, I can pull them up on the plan if you want, but it does appear based on the allowances that the height of the building can meet the minimum height requirements. We'll have a condition in there that the civil plan set will have to be demonstrate that the height is being met based on our definition of height in the zoning code. Okay, so then there's some highlights for the building design, that zoning and development ordinance section 1005. Most of the criteria are generally, you know, they're meeting that those standards. I don't think there's a need to go through all those standards. They're noted in the staff report. There's some conditions where needed. Otherwise, the plans may have already satisfied the conditions. The one item that I noted here is that, you know, we do have government camp village design guidelines in section 1005-12. And this is where I was asking for some guidance from the design review committee. My my look at this government camp village design guidelines handbook and ZDO section 1005.12, I think it's subsection, it's the first subsection, right? I can look it up, but it looks like it's calling for some more wood rustic siding. The design to me looks very, I guess, sleek, for lack of a better term. It looks good, but I don't know if it looks like there may be some more wood rustic look on there. So obviously that may be something that the committee can talk about. But I did make a recommendation on there that can be removed, that can be kept. It's just something that I it seems like there needed to be more of a wood rustic look. So this is transportation, parking, and solid waste highlights. So county engineering and sustainability noted that there was some issues with maneuverability in the basement of the structure, but they've also noted that they should be able to design it subject to the roadway standards, and they've recommended conditions of approval subject to we don't usually regulate roadway standards in the ZDO in section 1007 specifically, but the civil engineer has indicated that they'll have to demonstrate maneuverability at the time of the development permits and so forth. And the same goes, that's for just larger trucks, emergency vehicles and so forth. Obviously the notes from the engineering department said that other cars and so forth are just fine down there for maneuverability, and they just need a little more information on where the turnarounds are going to be for the larger vehicles. Parking is again sufficient. It seems to have met the code. It's just one parking space per room, and there's 47 rooms, and they've added an additional 5 parking stalls, presumably for staff, but it might be nice to have the applicants take on where the staff's going to park and so forth if when they discuss. But that was met. And then sanitary hauler will need to confirm that the trash receptacle location is feasible. I noted to the applicant that it would be good to get signatures from them on a plan and just make sure that they can do that. That will be a that should be a condition of approval, a recommended condition of approval, and it's set forth in section 1021.08. Just because the trash enclosure is a little bit closer for access, I believe. So as long as the hauler can confirm that, that should be fine. I did talk with our sanitary and solid waste department, and she noted that she talked to the hauler, and it looks like they've kind of discussed briefly some options. So, but again, that'll be a condition. And lastly, ODOT owns East Government Camp Loop. County really only regulates the on-site maneuverability and all that kind of stuff, but they do kind of work with ODOT, and there's conditions ensuring that both standards get met for frontage improvements and so forth. So the landscaping, you know, the applicant is planning to preserve and enhance all areas not being disturbed by development. You know, there will be some native plantings and so forth. It appears that there's been a very professional mitigation plan done using native shrubs and trees. There's obviously where development is going to occur, grading, and then the new building, those trees would be removed. I'd also note that it appears on their landscaping plan that the strip of land that I mentioned earlier that's owned by the federal government does contain mature trees, it appears, from street view. But whatever the case is, that will add some buffering. And as I noted in the staff report, that's not, you know, there's no requirement to preserve those trees. It's just it appears to be an added benefit for buffering at the moment, for part of the hotel, at least. Otherwise, the landscaping is going to be easily met. It's going to have ample landscaping. Given the tight entrance into the site, you know, some of the landscaping might have to be done through planters and so forth. That's noted in there. And then, you know, the applicant will need to show kind of a little more detailed pedestrian plan and show how that interacts. Shows how the sidewalk to the entrance is going to interact with, you know, a line of landscaping and then the entrance, obviously. But it's a short distance. And I believe that was my final slide. So recommendation is approval with conditions as noted. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Ben. Would the applicant please come forward and go over your proposed plans and address any issues raised in the staff report?
Hi, my name is Brittany Randall. I'm the planner on this project. The first thing that I wanted to say is that we are very ill prepared today. We don't have a copy of the staff report, and we were told that this meeting was going to be on the 31st. So I am tempted to ask for this to be held open so that we can have a chance to really prepare and present information to you all. This is the first that we're seeing of this. So that is what I have to say about that.
Ms. Randall, hold on a second. Ben, did you get a hold to see where we are on the 120 day?
I can look in just one second here. I believe we have enough time. Let's see. And of course, the applicant has the option, which they may know, to if you know, request an extension of the clock if needed. But that's up to them. Second here, just gotta. Okay. There it is. So we're outside of the urban growth boundary. So final action is July 10th, and that would mean, yeah, I think we do have enough time. We would have to have a final decision out by July 10th, which means we'd have to have the staff decision done by, let me just look real quick here, some calculations.
Well, I'm hearing that they might want to have a continuance just to go through the materials. So what you said about the applicant can request that outside the clock, maybe we're there already.
I don't know what the procedures are in design review committee. I'd have to probably ask someone just to be sure. I'd have to go offline again and call my director. I believe it's possible, but I just I don't know the procedures and bylaws enough of the design review committee. I can call our director if you want. So it sounds like the request from the applicant would be to leave it open. And would you want to have another design review committee in a week or 2 weeks, something like that?
Yeah. So Ben, I just sent back the email from you just so that we're all on the same page where you stated to us that this hearing was going to be on March 31st at 8:30 a.m. A week ago, we were supposed to receive the staff report. I know you were working on it, but that we did not receive it. So I just feel we have worked hard on this project. We really want to present our case very well to the design committee. And we feel very ill prepared for this because we thought it was 10 days from now.
Okay, well, why don't I just get back to you? And apologies about that. I think it might have been a typo, but nevertheless, let me just if the design review committee could grant me a little time so I can talk to my director and just figure out how we would do that with the design review committee. I think we have enough time for the 120 days, but I still need to calculate that because we're still pretty early on, but that's one thing I need to verify and then just talk to the director about how to basically continue the design review committee meeting. So if it's okay with the design review committee, can I have a couple minutes to do that?
Yes, please do.
Can I say a word here for a minute? My name is coming up as Jesus Solis. That's because I didn't get the link and Jesus forwarded it to me. I'm Brian Lessler. I'm the owner's representative, development manager, general contractor for the project. And I think at this stage, what we do not want to do is waive the 120-day period. So just to put that on the table.
Brian, I don't think that we'll have to waive it. We may need to tell Ben he can have a 15-day extension or some such thing. I believe that we're still well within the 120 days that we could, if an appeal was received, that could be processed. But Ben will have to confirm that for us.
Okay. Thank you. I want to throw a grenade into the process here, but to keep this project moving is important. We've been working on it for a year and a half, very, very hard. And to kind of be up against this hard stop is a little frustrating. If we're going to extend this also, we need to make sure that we hear from the design review committee that they're available for another hearing this close by. So I know you guys are all volunteers and thank you for the time you spend on this. So we don't want to take advantage of your generosity, I guess.
Well, I'll check and make sure we have a quorum. I'm available the 28th. And that's Tuesdays are normally the days we meet. We can pull the rest of the committee and,
I'm also available for
okay.
the next couple of Tuesdays if that works best for people.
That works for me as well.
Chetimer, are you available next Tuesday? Are you on mute?
Let me check. Let me check. I believe so.
Okay. And Aaron?
If that's spring break for us, for me and my kids, so I can't make any promises yet. I have to check with the boss. So
Matt?
I can make the 28th work.
Okay. I think we're okay.
I if it's early enough, I think I could do it. We do have, spring break for kids too, so we have some plans, but I'll see if I can pull it off.
Thank you, everybody.
I think I can make it.
I saw you nod your head, Daryl, so thank you.
Oh, okay.
Rita, that was March 28th was the date that you were...
A week from today.
Tolling.
Yeah, we usually meet on Tuesdays and at 8:30 in the morning. So yeah, I'm pretty sure that you being told we met on a Friday was a typo, and regret the error.
Yeah, well, it sounds like we can recover from this. So thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, there was a lot of confusion, Brittany. I had a meeting invite from Jim Toporek for 9:00 this morning. And who knows?
Yeah. I was surprised to receive the email from Ben asking if I was going to join. I said, yeah, on the 31st. I'll be there. He says, no, it's right now. Imagine my panic.
Well, I appreciate your understanding and flexibility.
Things happen, and we just appreciate the extra time because, you know, like I said, and like Brian said, we've been working on this for a year and a half. Staff at Clackamas County has been incredibly involved and helpful. We've been working on this for so long. We started with one planner and then moved over to another planner because that planner moved on to another opportunity. So feels like we've been in this for a while, and we want to present you all with good information.
Good. Hopefully we can do it next week because as a planner, you might appreciate it. I'm going to Philadelphia for the National Planning Conference. So
yeah,
I'll be gone for a while.
Great. I'm glad to see those are back in person.
Well, hopefully if I can come out without COVID, it'll be good.
Okay, so we can just make an announcement here that we can postpone for another date. The next question is, what date? Usually we do design review committee on Tuesday at this time. So I think two weeks, it'd be April 4th. How does that sound, Rita?
Actually, we polled while you were on the call, and
Oh, good. Pretty
much everybody's available for the 28th. That'll work for you.
Okay, great. That should work just fine. So for all folks in the meeting, just make a note that it's going to be 8:30 on March 28th, and check the website, the Design Review Committee website. We'll do it again. Apologize for the inconvenience here, folks, and we'll go on the 28th, and I will make sure the applicant gets all the staff report and exhibits in the meantime.
So also, Ben, will you be sending out the meeting invitation with the link?
It'll be Darcy Renhard who will do that, most likely. I'll have to coordinate with Darcy after the meeting, and she will do that, most likely.
Okay. But somebody from the county will send us a link. Yeah, okay, great. Thank you.
And if for neighbors and so forth and other citizens, they just check the website, Design Review Committee website, same link that you use to get into this meeting, and it will be updated for that time. And I think that should be fine. I know we don't have another design review committee meeting because it would have been on the, obviously would have known about it. So we'll let Darcy know, and then we'll get that link out, we'll get the revised link out today, hopefully, if not in the next couple days.
So I have a question for you, Ben. Do we have any guests? And when something like this has happened before, if they're not available to testify on the 28th, I've allowed that they can at least say something now.
I don't know, but I think it's your call. I think that's probably, I think it's where we're recording. I mean, ideally it would, I think so. I don't know the answer though to that.
Well, as I said, there's precedent for it, and I'm concerned that maybe people have come a long distance in some hairy weather. So is there a way to ask if anybody needs to talk now for the record? Or can all our guests make it on the 28th, I guess would be my question.
Well, I would say if everyone can just, looks like we have, yeah, there's one hand raised. So let me see what that's Jennifer Wallenberg. So presumably, I guess the question is, is there somebody that cannot attend next week? And then if you could just write in the chat function, if you wish to speak today, that would be ideal. And then we can go from there. And Jennifer, if that's you, just say so in the chat function, if you can find that. And I think I can probably, I think we could probably just allow Jennifer to talk, because I don't know if the chat function is being. So Jennifer, if you're on now, is next week not possible for you?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me? Because the chat is disabled.
Okay.
But I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah, we can.
Okay. No, I'm not available next week. I guess I've reviewed this plan. I haven't seen the staff report either. My only question, and I did ask this of staff, but is it looks to me like the creek actually goes right through this property, and that they talk about moving the culvert, but it looks to me like that culvert is actually the creek. And I would just like some clarification on that. I know that the applicants had a professional, but I'm just wondering if the county has an opinion on it that's not, the applicant. Because when I look at all the Forest Service maps and all of the hiking maps that I have, it just looks like, I don't know, it doesn't look like culvert. It looks like the creek, like they're redirecting it to the property line. Mm-hmm. So that's my only question.
Mr. Henchcraft, could you address that? Is Steve muted?
No. Steve, could you address that? Sorry. You're muted, Steve. We can't hear you. I don't know if that's your... Yeah. Is it? I don't know if that's your PC or not. Or sorry, your unit there, but we can't hear. It says you're unmuted, but it looks like there's some kind of issue. Let me see if there's.
Ben, I could help answer the question, but I know I represent the developer, so my explanation may not be satisfactory to Jennifer. But I'm happy to help here if I can.
Well, Ben, can you address it?
I'm going to call Steve. So if you want to just, since he can't get through, I'm just going to call him and I'll be able to address it. Yeah. So just give me one quick second. I'm sorry again for the delay. We're having a lot. It all goes wrong one at once. So just give me one quick second and I will follow up with Steve.
Is there any way to loop him in by phone?
Yeah, Steve, if you want to call, you could. Actually, no, Darcy didn't include any kind of phone number on the Zoom invite, I don't think. So.
What fun.
Yeah. Hang on.
Well, what's 503-742-4545? What's that? Is that Darcy's number?
I don't know. I'd have to, you want me to look it up in our directory?
No, whatever's quickest.
Okay, so let me just call Steve here.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me now by chance?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Good. Got it. Sorry. I'm at home remoting in on a Mac. It usually works pretty well. Okay, can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, so basically the applicant has actually, the stream is at the very southerly sector of the property, and the applicant has gone out there and essentially delineated the top bank of the stream. And so the map, so for example, this is the map, for example, that we have, which is similar to Forest Service maps. And actually it's similar to the original water rule protection classification maps that in many ways a lot of these stream inventories are based upon. And this is how it actually does indeed show the stream flow. But in fact, as I said, through the applicant's natural resource assessment and the field work, the stream flows along the southerly boundary, and there's a better shot of it. It's a landscape profile of it. So, obviously, this is the hotel itself. This is the top of the bank of the stream. Camp Creek is shown down here, and so. Long story short, that is actually the field identified location of the creek. This plan also includes in the pink here is a wetland delineation. I'm just going to show you over here that the applicant has received. So the wetlands are regulated in the end. Let me back up just half a second. The map is identified on as open space in government camp in our comprehensive plan as containing wetland. So thus then it becomes regulated under basically high priority open space wetlands. This of course is not exactly how the wetlands look, but here's the map itself. So as I said, getting back to the my site plan. Getting back to the site plan here, the pink is the wetlands, and the applicant has obtained then the wetlands are actually ultimately regulated by the state, by the Oregon Department of State Lands, and also by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And so the applicant has received so-called concurrence from the Oregon Department of State Lands, agreeing with the applicant's wetland delineation. And so while we're on the topic, what you see here is the blue here line is essentially the 50-foot buffer or the 50-foot offset from the top of bank. So you can see what is, relatively speaking, a fairly small amount of encroachment into that stream buffer. And there's a lot of mitigation going on. There's, I have it written down. So basically 500 plants consisting of 64 native trees and 436 native shrubs, along with the planting of a grass seed mix. And so, as Ben noted at the beginning, the encroachment into the stream buffer is being renewed separately under file number Z0033-23-RSCA. We're hoping, assuming everything maybe hopefully starts to go smoothly with this whole process. This isn't really a draft. This is most likely my complete staff decision. The only thing that would be changed is highlighted here in the red. The applicant has provided a pretty thorough, basically economic, social, environmental, and energy analysis, and slash overall natural resource assessment, examining sort of the effects and the commensurate mitigation for encroachment into the stream buffer by, as I said, actually I've got the exact amounts right here. The total amount of encroachments are, so 0.16 acres of wetland and 0.10 acres of, and again, this is going to be the outer areas of the stream conservation area, i.e. the most northerly slash furthest away from the actual stream itself. And then also the outerly wetlands, as in the wetlands that are, you know, by and large, furthest from the creek. So there's, and again, one of the things that in order to encroach with any kind of commercial development, if you want to encroach into the stream buffer, you actually have to take a look at the original economic, social, environmental, and energy analysis for the Sandy River Basin, which the applicant has done in their sort of voluminous materials, and also which is basically summarized in my staff decision. The application is also, I should add, is subject to an open space review, which also includes so it's high priority open space, again, as identified on this map here. And so when you end up disturbing wetlands in the high priority open space, you have to again basically do an economic, social, environmental, and energy analysis, which is, and I want to add, energy is sort of inapplicable, even though the applicant identified energy really as like hydroelectric facilities and dams and things like that. But anyway, so it's basically an overall analysis of the encroachment versus the amount of mitigation or offset, commensurate enhancement and mitigation for the encroachment into the wetlands. And so the stream conservation area decision also includes findings and conditions for open space and parks, and it also includes findings and conditions for basically, so that we have another section, another open space section, which is section 1103, and that particular section also gets examined, and there's some, we believe there may be some slopes that exceed 20% on the site, so that's also kind of analyzed in the staff decision. So see if I have anything else under here. Again, this would be just kind of an exhibit that I would have shown as part of the applicant's submittal is their economic, social, environmental, energy analysis, which is pretty thorough. This is actually the original ESEE analysis for the Sandy River Basin that had to be basically reviewed in this project in the overall evaluation of the stream conservation area permit. And I think otherwise, this is just more Department of State Lands essentially confirming so-called concurrence with the wetland delineation. And I believe that concludes my overall.
I have a question relating to the last comment from the participant. Can you hear me?
Is that Daryl?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I believe the woman who just spoke about the stream running through the hotel, it looks like if we could go to a grading plan. Originally, it looks like that's where the original stream was, and then they put it in a culvert. And go to the grading plan. You see how that's the where they changed it. But the original, or we could go to this is the site plan. This shows the new grading plan, not the original grading plan. I need the original grading plan.
You have
the original.
Yes. Do you have the sheet number by chance?
No.
Okay. Just give me a second.
An existing conditions plan that should show.
Yeah, existing conditions.
Yeah, I'm talking in response to the other woman's who called in.
And Ms. Wallenberg, if you are not, after you've reviewed all the materials, and if there's still questions, please contact Ben directly, and we'll be happy to have him address the issue. There we go.
All right, just give me a second so I can zoom out here. I got to figure this out here. If I can. Oh, there we go.
And Steve, for the guest, could you share your title and what you do all day?
Yes. So my name is Steve Henschke, and I'm a senior planner with Clackamas County, and primarily focusing on the environmental overlays and natural hazards.
Thank you.
Oh, okay, so we're looking at the original grading, the grading. It's not the grading plans, the site plan, the topos. And you can see that there's the stream came across and it was piped in through that, down through there. And so that was what she was asking was. And then on the plan we just looked at, there's a catch basin or something that, and then they rerouted it. And I don't know if they abandoned that or they just rerouted it or it's made. So both of those culverts will, and then if you could go to one of the last plans we saw about how they're regrading it, or repiping, you'll see that there's a split right there. See, you see how they now, is that abandoned? I can't, maybe it says abandoned existing. I can't read it, but it says abandoned existing just above that reroute. So, okay. Abandoned existing storm culvert and reroute the new storm system. So, I assume maybe all this is new. Anyway, that's what I'm responding to. It looked like there, that was the original path to the creek, and then they rerouted it and they put it more to the east, an existing 36-inch culvert over to the very right of the plan. I was just trying to clarify kind of what, if I did clarify what she was really asking, is that going to be completely abandoned or is it being rerouted or whatever? So maybe someone else can address that.
The gentleman who's not Jesus Solis has his hands up. Do you have a comment for us?
I think I can clarify this for everyone. Having spent a good deal of time at government camp on site analyzing the flows of water, there are... Go ahead, you have us... Okay, can I continue? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I thought someone was trying to speak and I wanted to give them opportunity. Okay, so here's the situation. There are currently two sources of water flow onto this site. Camp Creek enters the site on the very easterly boundary of the property, and that is the primary flow for Camp Creek that proceeds on down to the lake. And it's along this line right here. I don't know if my arrow is moving through or not, but it comes from uphill on the north side of Government Camp Road and enters a culvert and then dumps out just past the paved area on Government Camp Road and follows a channel. The other source of water is a small drainage basin that comes in just to the east of the fire station, and that water is currently piped under Government Camp Road, just as illustrated, and outfalls, and then open flows down to Camp Creek. What we are doing is intercepting that culvert on the north side of the road, and we're channeling that, as shown, to the east and to an outfall into the actual flow of Camp Creek. So that piping, that water flow that looks like it goes through the middle of the building, as far as our investigation is concerned, has never been the primary flow of Camp Creek. And I don't know if that helps, but.
Yes, and so I assume you made all the size calculations to increase the size of that pipe to make up for the abandoned smaller culvert.
You're on mute. You're still on mute.
Are you speaking to me?
No. Unmute. Yes, our civil engineer actually oversized that pipe. It's an 18-inch pipe, which is about three times bigger than the current pipe that goes under Government Camp Road.
Ms. Wallenberg, does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. And again, if you have additional questions after you look at the materials, please contact Ben. Okay. Anything else for the good of the order?
Well, it looks like we have one other person, Nick Renard, who, let's see if he's unable to attend next week and wants to talk. Is that all right if I allow him in there? Okay, thanks. Oh, okay, Nick, are you unable to attend next week?
Yes, Nick Reinhard, Government Camp CPO Chair. I'm unable to attend next week. And I would like to... request that more community members are involved in the design review process. I'm not seeing any resident involved in this process. And we've had Jesus Solis come up one time to give us a very high-level presentation on it, but nothing in detail. He's scheduled at our next CPO meeting in May. And next week is a long time before May, so I really would like the community to have a chance to express itself regarding this application and be part of the process. What are the possibilities of that happening?
Is that all right if I respond to that, Rita? Okay, so this is a type 2 land use application process. So it's really it's administrative on both of these applications, that one that Steve described to myself. So we don't have an assigned hearing like you would with a higher level type 3 application. So the public involvement would be, obviously you can submit any level of documentation, notes, comments, pictures, any and all of that would be absolutely welcome before we issue the decisions. Assuming, we have success next week, the decision for this actual application, after we've gotten recommendations from this committee, will be issued shortly thereafter, probably within a week or two. So you have a couple weeks to get those comments, but we don't have generally a meeting that we have, like a public meeting for this type of a type 2 application. So the other option would be, of course, you always have the option to appeal after the staff decision is issued in a few weeks. So that could create a hearing with the actual hearings officer for an appeal, which will be, that's just a designated, basically land use attorney that's, independent for the county, and they'll hear your complaints if there's something you disagree with. I know that's not exactly what you're saying, but those are the options for engagement. It's either, submitted documentation and evidence, that kind of thing, and comments, concerns is all welcome. But a formal meetings, generally we don't do on type 2 applications. Sometimes site visits occur, but in this case, it's going to be a staff issued decision.
Okay, thank you. The timing is not good for the community, because the next presentation expected is in May, and a couple of weeks doesn't give the population enough time to learn about this. No one had the staff report on our end either. We don't know if people are deciding for or against or neutral, but there's just a general lack of community participation. And that's what concerns me as CPO chair. My role is to have the community involved in these things as much as possible. And I'm concerned that that's not happening here.
So if I could respond to that again. So the staff report, it was available on the website. And I know we don't send out, we don't send out a notice of the staff report to the community. We send out a notice of land use application, and this is all in our zoning code section 1307. We send out notice of application and notice of decision. The design review committee is, it's a phase where you're kind of how the name implies. They're going through and looking at the design and so forth, and feedback between the applicant and the community, the design review committee rather, which are, development experts, just to summarize. So that's why there's no, we don't formally send a group notice for the committee, but as far as the timing, that's understood completely. We don't really have an option to slow down the decision of the type 2 applications unless the applicant is willing to do so on their behest. Basically, they have to let planning staff know that they want to extend the clock, and but if they don't do that, staff decisions will not be issued in May. They'll be issued much earlier than that, probably a week or so after the design review committee meeting. And then again, that will give you a couple of 12 days after the decisions are issued to file an appeal. But unless the applicant at their own insistence basically just tolls the clock, as they call it, that we don't have a we have to just go by that minimum time frame, unfortunately.
Can I ask where the staff reports are posted, because it's not linked to the agenda?
Well,
how do we find that?
I'm looking at the link, and so if you go to, it's not on the agenda, but there should be a link that says application.
Yeah, I've read that, but where's the staff report?
It's in there. It's just, it's in one big, you have to scroll through it.
Okay.
It'd be better if it could be broken out. If that's what you mean, but it should all be in there. I looked through it, and all the exhibits and the staff report and submittal application should all be in there. And if it's not, just let me know and I'll get you all that. No problem. We'll make sure you get it. So,
Also, if I can interject, all of this is on the county planning department's or division's committee. There's a thing you click and all this material is on it. So you look at the committees for the planning division, and it shows both present and what have you. But just to the point of, yes, we really want public input on all our processes, but want to qualify to say that we are a recommending body. We have no authority to either approve or deny. We just recommend. So I think that's what Ben was trying to get to in terms of the process.
Thank you. Is there an opportunity for a special CPO meeting to occur before the deadline for comment? I'd be willing to ask the other board members if we could call a special meeting where this topic is presented. We have quarterly meetings. Solis was a speaker in February, but he had to cancel. And the next meeting is in May, and the timing is not good for the community to become aware of this condition, aware of this project. And all I'm hearing is incomplete information. People have concerns. I don't know if the concerns are justified until they've been presented with the entire project. So I would like that process to happen. Is it possible for me to ask the CPO board if we can call a special meeting before the deadline for a comment?
Is that something I can speak to, Rita? So it sounds like you're asking, can you yourself with the CPO have a special meeting like prior to May, that kind of thing?
Yes, exactly. I would like to come and present to the community. This is a big community project. The community is very intimately involved with development up on Mount Hood, and the community currently has no chance to participate. Even this meeting, was broadcast to be at 9, part of it at 8:30. I'm not sure any other community members are on this call. I can't see them. But then there was a request to postpone the meeting until next week. I'm not available. I don't know how many other community members are unavailable for that. We'd like to be more included.
So there are other community members on the call. There's, I think, at least four, possibly five, possibly more actually now, but that might be someone from the applicant's team. But there was just an error. So it wasn't anything that was, that unfortunately we had a slight error, then we're going to just continue the design review committee, which and continuances occur. But the process is a type two again. And so as far as your ability to schedule a meeting, that's, I would look at your bylaws, and I can certainly put you in touch with our public affairs group that kind of works with the CPOs, and they can help. Did somebody have a question? No. Okay. So if you want, I can give you our public, it'd be our government and public affairs department. I think I might be swapping some words, but they can help you on like the, whether you can do that in the scope of your bylaws, I think, of your CPO. I don't know for sure, but I think that would be a good start. So if you want, Nick, I can put you in touch with them. And then I can also talk to the director, planning director, and see if we can how we could basically see how far out we can wait until till we can issue a decision in this case. That might provide some more time. So if you want to just kind of get in touch with me afterwards, I can look and see when we might have the decision date. But again, I just would not note again if the you know, the applicant doesn't, you know, the applicant can't, the applicant controls the clock. So without any kind of, you know, extension of the clock, we do have to, we're required by law to issue it at that time. It's a type two application. So it's standard to issue these before, well before the 120 day deadline in case of an appeal. So, but if you want to get in touch with me afterwards, I can give you my contact if you don't have it, but I can give you the Government and Public Affairs Department for your bylaws. And I can also see, give you kind of a time frame. Hopefully I can't promise like a certain date, but I can see how far out we have with the clock to issue a decision, if that helps.
Yes. For the bylaws, we can, the board and I can schedule a special meeting at any time. And I think this would qualify. I'll check with the other board members. But I would invite the developer, who has been very open with the CPO. He's been requested to be on the agenda twice. One time he made it. The second time in February had to postpone. No big deal. But now the timing is off. So I would invite the representative from the developer and from the county, maybe the design review committee, to attend a special meeting here in Government Camp. And I'll get with you, Ben, on that. It is allowable in our bylaws.
Okay.
Just would the invited guests attend?
I think Ms. Randall has her hand up. And I guess I have a question before you do. Does staff, county staff, typically attend CPO meetings?
Not typically, but I do know it's at sometimes it does happen from time to time. I'd have to talk to my director about that too, but not typically.
Ms. Randall?
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that Brian could speak up as the owner's representative, and Nick, perhaps we can get something scheduled much sooner so that everyone feels involved in the project. Brian, do you want to speak to that?
Yes, I was just thinking, in fact, I just sent a text to Nick to see if he was available this Friday. To come up to Government Camp and meet with you folks, with the CPO, if you can, Nick, are able to pull your board together on short notice like that. But yeah, we want to be open and transparent about the development. But, you know, time is a killer of these things, and we just don't have the option of extending the time for decisions on this. But we'll jump through any and every hoop that we can in order to meet with you at your very earliest convenience.
Well, thank you for that offer. I am unavailable this Friday. Big once-in-a-lifetime event in my family, so I can't miss it. And it wouldn't give enough time to notify the community, but let's talk afterwards with Ben and see if there's a time where we can get the county development agency representatives available, maybe design review committee representation and developer representation, and have the community hear this process before the deadline. That sound okay?
Yep, I will be in touch with you, Nick, from my end.
Hey, Ms. Wallenberg, did you have any more questions at this time?
No, thank you.
Okay. All right, so yes, another voice somewhere. I think we're all getting feedback once in a while. So with the concurrence of the committee and staff and the developer and our guests, I will close this hearing and continue it to Tuesday the 28th at 8:30 a.m. And Ben will be in touch with our guests and the developer to see how we can be more inclusive on this hearing process. Okay. All in favor, bye-bye. Thank you. I appreciate it. And, you know, can continue the dialogue. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.